quick Blue Jays talk. Only about 20 minutes to take your phone call, so let's do it starting right now. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. This was the 10th time already this season, 10th time in 50 games, that the Blue Jays have forced a blown save from their opponents. They are 8-2 in those games so far. Four runs in the ninth inning after an afternoon of some pretty frustrating action. And they beat the Baltimore Orioles 6-5. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Had a lot of trouble on the Twitter today, as always happens whenever the Blue Jays are behind or anything. Talking about how terrible this team is and how frustrating everything is. I'll say this. Yes, one walk-off win does not turn a team from awful to amazing. But the Blue Jays were 10-21 at one point in this season. They are now 21-29. They weren't going to go from 10-21 to 25-25. Doesn't happen that way. They've won 11 of their last 19 games since hitting rock bottom on May 4th, which was what made them 10-21, that loss to the Seattle Mariners where R.A. Dickey got smacked around. Since that point in time, the Blue Jays have played at a 94-win pace. Things have turned around. They're playing much better. Things are going well. They were never going to win 20 in a row. It is now incorrect to say that the Blue Jays are terrible. They started off terribly. They're playing much better. David in Brampton, you're going to be the first one on the Blue Jays talk. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. I think today's game really illustrates something we all should really try to work on, and that's patience. I think our players today show the patience to even though the things didn't go well for a while, to hang on, and in the ninth they pulled it off. So that really shows patience from the team. I hope us fans, me included, can show patience, more patience with the team, realizing that we're on a long journey to get to a postseason team, and it's going to take lots of effort and lots of building still. So that's, I think, the first thing.
All right.
I want to ask you, Mike, do you think we have enough, at this point, enough players to be able to take us down the line? And I'm thinking particularly of the second base area.
They don't have an all-star at second base. By no means. They're okay at second base and not especially good. But that's fine. I mean, if you're short in a position or two, it certainly doesn't derail your hopes of being a very good team. You look back to the Blue Jays teams that won the World Series, specifically in 1992, when they had Manny Lee at shortstop and Pat Borders catching. They got zero production from either one of those guys through the regular season, and they were still fine. They still won the World Series. So, yes, I mean, nothing has really changed since the beginning of the season except for the injuries to Jose Reyes, to Josh Johnson, to Jay Happ. Nothing has changed that would make me say, no, they're not good enough to win. They've obviously dug themselves a big hole. They've got a massive hill to climb to get out of that hole, because holes are just upside-down hills. But they're still, even though they haven't played that way for most of the season, a very good team.
Okay, I thank you for that. Look forward. Now, you see, why I asked that was, with our total payroll of $118 million, I mean, they're still, I think, compared to the other six teams, American League teams are ahead of us, I think there's room if, you know, we can find the money to be able to get some more help. And I think second base is probably the place I would look at right now that would need the most help. But I hear what you're saying.
All right, I appreciate the call. I think that they will go shopping depending on where they are around the trade deadline. They have to be, first of all, get back to .500, and then second of all, get themselves in the race. But if they are, then there's no reason they won't look to improve. Thomas is in Toronto calling after a win. That's unusual. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Like I said, I got a lot invested in this team through my company, and you know what? Guess what? This was a great win today. Munenari Kawasaki, he's making it really tough for the Blue Jays to say, well, if Blue Jays plan to maybe release him or do whatever with him later on in the season. He's making it really tough. He's really exciting. He can be a leadoff hitter if Cabrera Melky decides to struggle. And it was a great win. But on the other hand,
if Melky decides to struggle,
if Melky begins a struggle, if he goes in a slump,
much better word.
Kawasaki sees a lot of pitches, as per what Dirk Hayhurst said, and he can be a candidate for a good leadoff hitter. Secondly, I just want to say, we argued about this week, and Greg Zani commented on it. What Lurie did today was absolutely ridiculous, and if you want to look at this guy as a me player today was a prime example of being that. Because looking at your coach and showing up your third base coach and then getting into the dugout and having an exchange with your manager, to me, that's a perfect display of a me player. And that's something we just don't need when we're trying to climb out of the cellar right now in the AL East.
I'll say this, and it's unfortunate that I have to say this. I didn't see any of it. I read about it. People were tweeting about it, but I wasn't looking at the monitor. I saw something as Lurie was coming off when he was kind of talking to Luis Rivera. So if it's what we all assume it was, and that Lurie was complaining that Adam Lind didn't try to score on the fly ball, which took away an RBI from him, if that's what Lurie was upset about, then I agree with you wholeheartedly. That cannot happen, and that absolutely speaks to a player who's concerned far more about his own numbers than about anything else.
Well, Mike, let me ask you a question. If somebody called in, if I called in and I said, and I was screaming because Adam Lind didn't score from third base, you would have probably said, "Well, Neil, look who's Thomas, right field there."
There's no way Adam Lind would have scored. Adam Lind would have been meatcake at home plate. He had no chance to score on that fly ball, and that was the absolute right decision for Luis Rivera to hold him up. And if that's what Brett Lurie was complaining about, because nobody had a microphone on him and nobody knows exactly what he was saying, but if that's what he was complaining about at that point in the game, that does that
I'll
really
I'll speak to my guns
looks,
about Brett Lurie
really
as far as what we were arguing about this week. My opinion has not changed. I don't like the player's personality. The last player we had like that was George Bell, but George Bell was absolutely a powerful bat, and he definitely produced and put up the numbers.
Not when he was 23 years old, he didn't.
Pardon me?
Not when he was 23 years old, he didn't.
He steadily progressed every year he played, and he came out of a Rule 5 draft. I mean, this guy, he was brilliant. Not
yeah,
with the
he
club.
Was. You know, I'm not arguing with you that George Bell wasn't good. But George Bell, when he was 23 years old, had 112 at-bats in the major leagues.
And steadily increased.
Yeah, and steadily increased. And Brett Lurie's going to steadily increase, too, one would hope.
But
you cannot, you can't give George Bell a pass and rip on Brett Lurie when George Bell was older and more grown up. You got to give Lurie a chance.
Have you
to
seen
grow
a person
a
with this personality
Tom,
change?
Thomas, I'm done. I'm done. I
have you seen a person
more,
with this personality change?
I want to get to some more callers. Thank you, Thomas. Can't have 15 minutes with you on every show complaining. Eric is in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, listening on Sportsnet590.ca.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Eric.
What a thrilling game it was today. They loaded the bases in three innings in a row. If I've got that correct.
They didn't score the first two.
No, I know. Well, they got one in the eighth, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, but they loaded the bases after that.
Oh, did they? Oh, sorry. But either way, what was
actually, they had the bases loaded there. You're right. They scored
yeah, I think
one.
Kawasaki had a hit, didn't
yeah,
he, with
he
the
did.
Bases loaded?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyways, when people call in and talk about the Blue Jays' small chances of making the playoffs, those people should look up what are the chances of the Blue Jays winning in the ninth when they load the bases in the seventh and the eighth and still don't tie it, then give up two in the top of the ninth. I mean, what a thrilling comeback. I thought they were toast when they gave up those two in the top of the ninth.
Well, everybody else did too.
Yeah.
Except
like
them.
What a thrilling win. And I have to say I'm enjoying hearing you call more time with the Jays on the radio. And a few weeks ago, Encarnacion's fifth deck home run, your call gave me goosebumps. That was very exciting.
Thank you very much.
And one last thing. Yeah. You might need to go on Baseball Central sometime just to get some back and forth there, because those two guys, I love listening to their show, and I think it's good-natured, but they hack on you a fair bit, so you might have to make an appearance to defend yourself a little bit.
That's interesting. Well, I'm willing to go on the show anytime they call. It's interesting that they're ripping on me and not putting me on, but we'll have to talk to Travis McKenzie about that. He books the show, and Jeff Blair and Dirk, because you're right, that's not exactly fair. I'm sure they're doing it with a smile on their face, though, at least I hope. Thank you. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-5 with 4 in the bottom of the ninth. Tony in Toronto. Go ahead
The
Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call again. Great win by the Jays, my friend. I'm a diehard Jay fan, and I love those great wins, comeback wins. A couple of things I want to ask you, Mike, very quickly. Munenori Kawasaki, in your mind, is he doing everything possible to stay up when everything is said and done, when Jose Reyes comes back? Or does he still need to show more to the management in order for them to be able to keep him around somehow when everything is said and done?
He's certainly done everything possible. He really has to stick around, but there still may not be room for him. I don't know. It's a bit of a problem.
It's unfortunate, don't you think? Like, I see his teammates love this guy. Like, I was watching the end of the game. It's great to see. They love this guy. I mean, it seems like he's a team player. I mean, it's amazing. He's a good guy.
Yeah, they love him.
Well, one more thing regarding Josh Johnson. You know, do you think the Jays should bring him up as soon as possible or give him as much time as he needs for the rehab assignment, even though the rotation is still a question mark right now with all these young guys and fill-in guys? What do you think about that, Mike?
I think you can't bring him back until he's ready to be back. He needs at least one more rehab start. I have a feeling that's all he'll get. And then they'll call him up after that, and we'll see him pitch in the series against the Rangers second weekend of June here at Rogers Center.
Okay, well, that's good, Mike. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Appreciate the call. We'll get to another caller in a second, but first, Arash Madani on Sportsnet Television interviewed Mark DeRosa at the conclusion of the game, and Munenori Kawasaki came over and grabbed the microphone. And I want to hear what Kawasaki had to say, so let's hear it.
Mark, when Munenori Kawasaki showed up here, you said, "I don't know what he's saying all the time, but he sure gives a lift to this team."
Oh, yeah.
He certainly did this afternoon, didn't he?
I mean, he's played great. Here, come on, Mooney. This is his interview. I'll be his translator.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Thank you very much. My name is Munenori Kawasaki. I'm from Japan. I'm Japanese!
I can't follow that. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You have some notes here.
Yeah.
And what do you have written in your book so far?
Yeah. My teammate gave me an opportunity, so I wanted to do something about it.
Wow, there you go. Munenori Kawasaki. My teammates gave me opportunity, so I wanted to do something about it, and he certainly did. With a two-run game-winning double with two out in the bottom of the ninth inning, scoring Mark DeRosa, who was on the move because it was a 3-2 pitch. The Orioles were playing Kawasaki awfully shallow, and that gapper to left center field wasn't going to be caught by anyone. So Kawasaki reading out of a phrase book, a translation, Japanese to English phrase book, doing a great job there. Let's take one more call. Nolan is in Toronto. Nolan, welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
How are you, Mike? It's great to be on, and I'm driving home from that awesome game right now. I just have two things. Number one, is there any way that we can keep Kawasaki up here and maybe send, I don't know, his turfs or someone down when Reyes
there's
is back?
A way, but Emilio Bonifacio is out of options, and Asturias can't be sent down without his permission. Same with DeRosa. So there's a way for it to happen, but the Blue Jays will have to jump through a few hoops in order to make it happen. Kawasaki's the one who's got options. That's the thing.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to comment about is the Blue Jays hitting with bases loaded, and in particularly swinging at the first pitch. Like, I don't understand why John Gibbons just says to them, take the first pitch. I don't care if it's a strike, but let's see what he does with the second or even the third pitch. Maybe he throws in the dirt or something, gets by the catcher. Like, at least take some pitches to see what happens in the at-bat.
Well, I don't think you should be up there taking pitches because you hope that there's going to be a wild pitch. But sometimes the first pitch of the at-bat is the best pitch you're going to see. And sometimes first pitch swinging works, and sometimes it doesn't work. The Blue Jays have been started off the season terribly with the bases loaded, but they've started to come around now a little bit. They had two hits with the bases loaded today. But, yeah, I think they had like one hit in their first 12 at-bats or something with the bases loaded. But the automatic take I don't think is always the right move on the first pitch by any means.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. Apologize to all those of you we couldn't get to. I know that the 50 or 60 people who tweeted me in the 7th and 8th inning about how the season was over and the Blue Jays were terrible and they're not clutch at all, we're all dying to call in and apologize for that. Just a little bit of patience. You got to get 27 outs to win a baseball game, and you have to play 162 games in a season. Blue Jays get 4 in the bottom of the 9th. They come back and beat the Baltimore Orioles 6-5 to split the series. They are 4-3 right now on this homestand that still has 2 games left against the red-hot Atlanta Braves. We'll come back and put a nice pretty bow on this one. Big win for the Blue Jays. It's a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center. Excitement! Fun! What a blast as the Blue Jays get 4 in the bottom of the 9th and beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 6-5. Munenori Kawasaki with a walk-off winner, a 2-run double with 2 out against Jim Johnson. Quick look at some of the other scores. The Cleveland Indians lead the Boston Red Sox 5-4 in the bottom of the 9th, but Indians closer Chris Perez has been injured, had to come out of that game, and the Red Sox just walked it off. Off of Joe Smith, Jacoby Ellsbury drives in the winning runs. And just like the Blue Jays did, the Red Sox get 4 runs in the bottom of the 9th and win 6-5. They beat the Cleveland Indians. The New York Yankees were losers 8-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The CC Sabathia gets beat up. Tigers beat the Twins 6-1. The final score there was a 2-run double with the bases loaded by Jacoby Ellsbury that won it for the Red Sox. Wow, really eerie coincidences. The Orioles are gone. The Blue Jays will now have a 4-game home-and-home with the Atlanta Braves. Starts tomorrow night with Mark Burley on the hill against the Braves' Tim Hudson. Please join us. We're on at 7 Eastern Time. You've been listening to Home Hardware, Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good evening from Rogers Center.